Welcome to Cider Chat. This is part 6 of an ongoing series on cider making. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about bottling your own cider at home.
Going up, going up, going up.
Hello, my name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am both the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. We're going to be getting to bottling your own cider at home coming right up, but first, let's go to a wee bit of news out and about in Ciderville. Finger Lakes Cider Week is starting October 1st, and it runs through October 11th. There are both virtual tastings and a game night happening on October 5th, which is a Monday night. So it's just a couple days away, and it's being put on by the Peck Lab at Cornell University, and that's named after Gregory Peck, who has the best name in the world for a pomologist, because, you know, you want a bushel or a peck. It's kind of like a size amount of apples that you could get. And they're going to be setting up a trivia thing. They've been doing this for a while. I think that's going to be really cool. It's free. You'll be able to find all that information and more at ciderweekflx.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Alan Shapiro of Cider Summit Festivals. We're back with a second Cider Summit Portland Festival to go. We've built on the success of our first one in June, and hopefully we'll be bringing a wider range of ciders to more people across more places. This time, we've got three tasting kit offerings, an artisanal import selection, a bottled classic selection, and a modern cider kit. All of the ciders are listed at the producer's section on our website. Each kit will also feature two stemless Cider Summit tasting glasses, apple and pear stress balls, and promotional items from participating cideries. Your tasting kit also includes access to our virtual tasting event, co-hosted by Northwest Cider Association. For those of you living in or near Portland, you can pick up your kits at our contactless drive-through event from 12 noon to 3 p.m. on October 17. Local and statewide delivery options are also available, and now we can ship nationwide, except Utah. I hope you'll visit cidersummit.com to get all the details. Make sure you order by October 4 or even sooner, just in case we sell out again. On behalf of the entire Cider Summit team, we hope all of you in Ciderville are hanging in there, and we look forward to seeing you again soon. Cheers.
Oh, Cider Summit Portland. You know, everything from the Pacific Northwest is super tasty. I mean, they got such a foodie scene hanging on there. And Alan, he does it right. I think you might remember him earlier this summer when he was talking about the Seattle Cider Summit, which just took place. So this one's coming right up, and you want to get your orders in. And so I have the page open. You just Google Cider Summit, and you'll find it. And I'm looking at the different options that you could do here. The artisanal import, they have ciders from England, France, British Columbia, and Spain. And then the bottle classic kit is more closer to home, and that is Apple Outlaw, Thompson Creek, McIntosh, Ballman's, that's Christine. Oh, she's got a single varietal. Bull Run, Barrel Age, Eugenia Gold, Easy Orchards, Poré. Oh, I'm just getting thirsty just reading this. Virtue Salute, Cider Summit Collaboration, and then Wildcraft Trinity Palm. Oh my goodness. And then the modern kit has Two Towns, 12 Bridges, Jester and Judge, La Familia Guayaba Guave, not sure what that is, Reverend Nat, maybe two Reverend Nats, because it says one, then another, then Tumalo, Huckleberry Lemon, and then another Virtue Salute. You have the Cider Summit collaboration. Are you thirsty yet? Anyway, so I'm checking this out because I think I want to get one of these. I'm looking at that bottle classic. That looks like a great deal. So I hit purchase up here, and then it comes up and it shows me you could do a drive-through pickup, local delivery, the Greater Oregon delivery. I just want to say they make it really easy. And this is also through Press Then Press, and they're shipping all throughout the U.S. Sorry, international Ciderville listeners. Maybe not this time, but who knows? I'm sure, knowing Alan, it's going to happen. So check it out at the cidersummit.com website. You won't be disappointed.
Going up.
Oh, here's a little bit of trivia for you. That recording, Going Up, was recorded in Portland, Oregon, while I was attending the 2016 CiderCon. Oh, that was such a good time. Good memories, and it sticks with us in Cider Chat into the future, keeping it positive, which is where we're going to go to next. We're going to go right into this discussion with me on bottling, something that I don't talk about, or I haven't talked about, I should say, on Cider Chat yet. I've talked a lot about like making cider and always encouraging people to make cider this time of year and get to understand the process. And I always hope come spring, I'll be talking about bottling. But I figure let's put it all together in like a part 1 through 6 series called the Cider Making Series in September 2020 here, and give you a chance to start thinking forward about bottling your cider. Or if you're like me, hiding underneath my sheet right now, kind of feeling a little guilty because I have not bottled my cider. And you might be looking at all those carboys filled with liquid and saying, what do I got to do? Because I want to make cider now. There's juice flowing out there, out in Ciderville, wherever you are, and I need to make room, so I must bottle. So that's what this is about. It's called Bottling Cider at Home, and we'll begin there. This is a stage where you're really hitting the pavement running. You have made your cider, and if you want to learn how to make cider, go to part 1, How to Make Cider at Home. You've racked over your cider, and if you want to learn what racking is about, well, go to last week's episode, part 5, to rack or not to rack? That is the question. Or perhaps you've left it on the lees, your cider on the lees, and it's just been conditioning for a while. You stirred it in a bit, doing a little surlis and batonnage. All these things might sound like a foreign language to you, and actually they are. It's French. But it's more simple than you think, and each step of the process is quite doable for a home cider maker, which is what I am. And so you're at that stage right now where you have nurtured your cider, let it do its thing, and you're saying, I really want to get it into a bottle. So we're going to look at this in terms of a 5-gallon carboy. Because if you made a 1-gallon jug of cider, I would say, just drink it. Just drink it. It's a gallon. You could handle that. I give you permission if you need permission to drink that gallon jug. Maybe not all in one sitting, but yeah, it's all good. So anyways, we're going to look at 5 gallons of cider that you've been, because that's a classic size that most people get, or they might get a 3-gallon carboy, which is what I also have quite a bit of because it's easier for me to move. Because think about that. That's a lot of poundage, all that liquid. So you want to be able to have something that you can move about and have, you know, storing it for a while it's conditioning. And that could be a couple months. So let's say in the fall you're making your cider. It's goes through its primary fermentation. And about a month after primary fermentation, you rack it over and you're letting it sit. So now you're looking at maybe like November, December, and you know, the holidays are a really busy time. The new year comes. You're like 2021, yahoo! The cider's conditioning. If you're like me, you rack it over again, maybe yet another time. You're all that time kind of clarifying your cider. And in that time, you're noticing that, okay, if you're taking it off of the lees, which is the dead yeast cells, it should be stopping fermentation. But how do we know that? One tool that you're going to need to have if you're going to go this route, and that is something called the hydrometer. What is a hydrometer? It sounds so scary. But in truth, it isn't. I'm just kind of jesting with you a little bit. A hydrometer is a maker's best friend when it comes to fermenting. And what it does, it provides you a data point that tells you when your cider has stopped fermenting. And that is called the specific gravity of the solution. And you'll hear specific gravity in terms of the relative density between water that's in the solution and all the other stuff in there. So with cider, or I should say fresh pressed apple juice, you have a lot of water in there. And water alone would have a specific gravity of 1.000, so 1.000. And you could see that reading on the specific gravity. You just turn the little hydrometer on its side, and you'll see a little sign that says SG, or specific gravity, written out. And I'll have a link in, on the cider resource page, where you could get yourself a hydrometer. They're used widely, so it's a very easy tool to get, and it's well worth having one in your toolbox if you are a maker and going to be making a lot of cider. So we begin with, in the best of the worlds, when you're first getting your fresh pressed apple juice, it's wonderful to take a specific gravity reading then, before you start fermenting. And then you get to see it drop. So most fresh pressed apple juice, when you take the initial reading, it's going to be in the range of 1.045 and could go up to like 1.065. That's kind of the relative area. And that's before it even starts fermenting. Once it starts fermenting, it's going to start dropping and dropping and dropping. And when it gets down to 1.000 or lower, you're pretty safe to go and start bottling. So look at my show notes that I have on this little piece here for episode 241. And, you know, read a little bit what I wrote there about specific gravity to help you. It sounds more scary than it is, but it's really the tool that tells you, hey, you know, this batch is ready to bottle. And that's a good thing to know, because if you bottle it too soon, you could have what is called bottle bombs. And that means that that cider is continuing to ferment. Even though you've racked off a lot of the lees, there could be little, you know, rogue lees, little yeast cells floating around. And that could keep on fermenting in the bottle. And bottle bombs is what it's called. It can be very, very dangerous. And if you listen to this whole series, you would have heard Ben Robertsano from Stormalong talking about it. Pretty much most of us have experienced that. Knock on wood, I have not yet ever. But I do remember as a kid, my parents making root beer and we having that experience of the glass bottles, you know, breaking right in the box because it was still fermenting. So you are forewarned, be careful, and be safe. So we start with checking the specific gravity, make sure it's low. If it's at 1.000 or lower, you are good to go.
We've been cleared for landing.
In addition to the hydrometer, you're going to need the following equipment that I'm going to be going through right now. But you could also follow up later on and see that list. I have it all in the show notes for this here episode 241. So you don't need to write it down right now. Keep driving or keep riding your bicycle, whatever you're doing, or picking your apples, dreaming of cider. So the list is as follows. You need to have sanitizing solution. And there's a whole bevy of different solutions to use. I personally like Iofor. You're going to need a racking siphon and tubing that allows you to transfer, siphon over that cider from your carboy into each bottle. I recommend purchasing a bottle filler, and I like the one with the spring. And this is a stiff tube with this little contraption at the end, and you just plunge it into the bottle, push it all the way down to the bottom. When you release it, it stops the cider from flowing. That way you don't have overflowing cider going everywhere. I mean, way back when, I didn't have that little tool when I first started fermenting and making all kinds of things. I would just crimp the hose, but that is not a good way to go, and you lose a lot of liquid. So definitely get a bottle filler with a spring. For about 5 gallons of cider, I recommend having maybe like 3 cases of bottles to be on the safe side, and that's 12-ounce bottles, a little less if they're going to be 16-ounce bottles. But you want to do the math of ounces out of 5 gallons and how many bottles that you have and how many ounces they could hold. You're going to need bottle caps, and they want to fit the bottles that you have. Now, for your classic bottle, 16-ounce bottle, 12-ounce bottle, they'll take a very specific size. If you're going to fill a larger format bottle, like a 750-ml bottle that you see a lot of ciders in now that have a crown cap, that's kind of, you know, the classic like little bottle cap, that's a different size cap. So make sure that the bottle cap that you're putting on your bottle fits the respective bottle that you're using. I know this sounds like a lot. Again, I'm going to refer you to the show notes. And so the next piece of equipment, obviously, then is how to get that cap on the bottle means you need to have a bottle capper specific for that size cap. Do you see where this is going? You can get a little bit equipment, but it's not too overwhelming. It really isn't. And this is kind of the fun time when you get the whole family involved in bottling the cider with you. So those are the basics. And I have that list there. That's all the equipment that you need. So let's take a little pause here, a little exhale, and I'll be right back and discussing the different options that you could do at this stage with bottling and making a determination of the kind of finished product you want. All right, so you have all your equipment all set up. You're ready to start transferring the liquid into each individual bottle, and you know that your cider has stopped fermentation. And you say, oh, you know, stopped fermentation is tasting really good. I really, really like my cider still. So if you like still cider, well, bottle away. Go ahead, start racking it over. Do it. But at this point, you also have an option to decide whether you want to add a little bit of bubble to your cider, what we'd call carbonation. And so bottling is a key moment in time in the cider making process to really change the course of history for that cider. If you like a still cider, if you like a dry cider, you know, no like additional anything to that finished product that you have, bottle away. But if you want bubbly cider, if you want maybe a semi-sweet cider, it's not sweet enough, you want a little more sweet to it, or you want to make it sweet, well, you could do all that before you put it into the bottle. So again, if it's going to be dry or still, just siphon the cider directly into your clean, sanitized bottles and cap. And if you're going to take a different route then, and you're going to make it bubbly. Well, I need to take a little pause here and be right back.
Walking through the orchards.
To make your cider bubbly in the bottle, you have a number of different options. For me, I don't even think about it anymore. It's like I've made coffee 1,000 times in the morning, so I don't even have to measure. But if you're new to this, you really want to be very careful with your calculations. Because to do otherwise and maybe add too much of something into that bottle could create, again, those very dangerous bottle bombs. So I'm going to give you an overview, but in the end, you're going to need to seek out those calculations more thoroughly than I can do right now on the podcast. But in the short term, don't be shy and don't be kind of turned away. This is very doable. Again, if I could do it, you could do it. So the first step that is typically taken on by beginner cider makers is to make sure that your cider has fermented completely dry. And so it has that specific gravity of 1.000. You know that the fermentation has been completed. And so any kind of floaties in there are typically dead yeast cells. So in order to introduce some activity in there again, you're going to bring it into fermentation again by reintroducing some yeast and priming sugars. Typically, you want a champagne yeast, a dry champagne yeast package, which costs under $2 or so. And I would just take out some of the cider that's in my carboy, mix it with that yeast, and add some priming sugar too. And I think on the average is about 1 ounce of priming sugar, which is dextrose per gallon. So if you had 5 gallons of cider, you'd have about 5 ounces. But there's some other things that go on there to complicate matters further, and that is what temperature your cider is in solution. So I'm going to refer you, and as I really like referring everyone, to the book, Big Book of Cider Making. I had the conversation with the authors on this here podcast. Their book is now out. We've been waiting for it forever. They do a fantastic job of bringing you through the steps. So do check them out. But I did notice that Christopher and Kirsten did not tell you the exact amount of priming sugars. So there are calculators you could get online to really sort that out. But that's the easiest way to do it, because you add in the sugar, you add in some yeast, you mix it all into solution, into the mass of solution you have, and then rack it over into your bottles and cap it. And you'd want to wait. I'd recommend, you know, checking one bottle 2 weeks later, and maybe a month later, and you should start seeing some bottles. And maybe as just a precautionary thing, always approach those bottles very carefully, put them in like a closed container, just in case if you're really new to this game, getting it right. So that's the easiest way to create bubbles in your cider. What I like to do is something called pet not, which is bottling the cider before it has completely fermented and the yeast is still active, but not really overly active. So that's pet not, and I love it because it gives me tiny little bubbles. I mean, the size of the bubble I'm getting a little, I don't know, maybe too snobby about it, but I really like small bubbles, so that's why I like doing pet not, and it works well for me. I kind of have a sense of my cider where it has fermented to, I leave enough lees in there, and I add a little bit of priming sugar, about that 1 ounce ratio per gallon, mix it all into solution. I don't add any additional yeast, and then I bottle. And that helps reboot the remaining yeast and thus create those little delightful bubbles. You might want to try pet not after you've had your try on it a couple times, some success. There's also the method champenois technique, which is how champagne is made. And it's a rather involved process. It's a one-step, two-step. There's riddling involved, all kinds of stuff. It's really cool if you do it. I myself have never done it before, but I'm going to refer you to a conversation I had with Chuck Shelton of Albemarle Cider Works a while back. The Sheltons are based in Virginia. They make delightful cider, and he did a really great overview of method champenois. So you could check that out. And the last technique that you could use for getting bubbles into your cider at home is through the technique called forced carbonation. This technique requires kegging equipment, which is something that I do have. I have a bunch of kegs, stainless steel kegs of different sizes. For the most part, I use my 3 gallon keg to grab and go. And I also have 5 gallon kegs. I mean, carrying around 5 gallons of cider is pretty heavy. So you better be bringing it to a party. And this process is pretty straightforward. And in some ways, it helps me because I'm often lazy and don't want to clean a lot of bottles. So I'll transfer all that cider into my keg. I'll close up the keg, make sure it's all sealed. And then I'll hook up the CO2. You get these like big tanks with a regulator and stuff. And I push the CO2 into the keg. So I'm pushing the CO2 into solution. And that is what creates the bubbles. So I won't talk more about that again. I'm going to refer you to the Big Book of Cider Making because they did a really good job there explaining the full process. And so if you have kegging equipment from some other fermenting projects that you want to do that, it's a great way to go. I love it. You know, you don't have to worry about adding yeast or any priming sugars. You just force that CO2 in and it works. But, you know, there's different appetites for different styles. And certainly a forced carbonated cider is really different than a method champenois type of cider. versus even one where you add your own priming sugars and yeast in, and it has different foam, different characteristics, different size bubbles. There's a lot to it. And mainly what I want to do today in this here episode is to really encourage you to not be deterred by the thought of bottling your cider. It's very straightforward. People of all different walks of life have been doing it for years and years and years and doing it successfully. And I know that you can too. All you need to do is just go to the show notes for this here episode 241, see the list that you need there, and follow it. And I know that there was something that I didn't talk about, so I'm going to take a little pause here, and I'll be right back with that final little piece on bottling your cider.
Dancing in the streets.
Let's talk sulfites, specifically adding some sulfites, something like potassium metabisulfite, into your carboy before you rack it over into your bottles. For myself, I go two ways with it. I've done it both ways, and I've had luck both ways. If I don't add sulfites, I haven't really had any spoilage. And that's what people are really adding sulfites there to kind of prevent spoilage if they can. So let's say I have some cider, and I know it's going to be sitting around for a while. A little bit of sulfites probably wouldn't hurt it. And when I talk a little, I'm talking about a minuscule amount. Let's see. For 5 gallons of cider, I might put in a quarter of a teaspoon or less, maybe like an eighth of a teaspoon. Kind of do it, you know, the way my grandmother cooked. I kind of eyeball it and say, okay, that's good. So that's one option. But if you're thinking that sulfites are being added to stop fermentation, you'd be wrong. It does not. It's really meant as a preservative. To really kill everything, I think you have to add sulfites and potassium sorbate. And you can really taste the sorbate in a finished cider. It has a really specific taste profile. And so I've never added potassium sorbate to my cider at the time of bottling. So again, I'm going to just refer you to kind of do a little bit more research on your own so that we don't get too deep into that right now. And I'm sure this conversation will come back again with future cider makers on Cider Chat. But for me, I kind of just do a minuscule amount, and more often than not, I don't add any at all, and I'm totally fine, especially if my sanitation process is really tried and true, and once I got it down. But if you're absolutely brand new to this, you might want to add a little sulfite, but do know that you could end up with some bottle shock. It could happen regardless whether you add sulfite to it or not. You can get a little bit of bottle shock in your cider. This happens with wine too. And it takes a little while for the cider to get comfortable in its new environment. And it might take like a month. So just let it settle down. Don't sweat if you're like opening like, oh my God, this tastes awful. Don't worry. Cider likes to age. And the beauty is being able to taste it at each step along the way and to see how it develops. And you fine-tune your own palate, and you notice, my gosh, I added too much sulfite to it. Or if you do go that potassium sorbate avenue, you will really probably be able to detect it, at least get to know it over time. So that's my two cents on it, and I'm sticking with it.
Smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Hoo-wee. I think that just about sums up this 6-part series on cider making. What a wonderful time this has been. I really appreciate the time that I spent at Stormalong Cider in Leominster, Massachusetts. They gave us enough info for 3 different episodes, all on both commercial operations and working in your own home cidery. A pretty cool chat. So do look at the whole cider making series, part 1 through 6, and get your cider bottled. It's the time. Do it. Empty out those carboys. I'm talking out loud. I'm trying to convince myself to have a couple projects going on here that's kind of keeping me away from doing that. But I am going to get it down soon. I promise you. And of course, Ciderville, you will be the first to know. And so I leave you there and hope that wherever you are in the world right now that there is a full glass waiting for you. This is Rio Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Cider, we like palms, we love orchards and having fun. There is a reason,
there is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes there is,
there is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes there is,
there is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes there is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider, we like palms, we like orchards, having some fun. There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this. Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Oh yes, we do.
We like palms.
Oh yes we do.
We love orchards, having some fun. There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum. Ba-da-da-dum.
We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Ba-da-da-dum.
We like palms.
Oh yes we do.
We like orchards, having some fun.
Yeehaw!